Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Opening Drive Podcast, Week 12 recap. We are back in effect after a 1 week hiatus. We are back. Sorry to leave you guys hanging, but we had a lot going on last week. We had people coming in town. It was Thanksgiving. I didn't want to put out anything that wasn't quality, so we just decided to take last week off. But we are back, about to recap some of the headlines of week 12. We're going to do things a little bit different this week, but before we get into the show, I want to, if this is your first time into the show, thank you for checking us out. Make sure that you connect with us on all of our social media platforms. A big part of what we do is on the social media front. And we would love for you to connect with us on our Instagram and Twitter. That handle is at GTRadio1100, at GTRadio1100. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. Look, I know you got your Twitter and Instagram open right now. Go ahead, search GTRadio1100, and you'll find us there. Also, for the Facebookers, go to Facebook and type in Game Time Radio Network. And you will find our Facebook page. And that way you'll be abreast as to all of everything that we have going on the Facebook realm, the NFL show, the WNBA show, and whatever shows that we decide to add to the network. So we appreciate everybody that has listened thus far, everybody that has been listening since the Game Time Radio show days. We appreciate the support. We appreciate all of the retweets, all of the reshares. And we've got another exciting show for you this afternoon. Well, actually this evening. Or see, it's kind of hard to do that when you're doing a podcast, right? So I'm recording this at night, like in the evening. But you can listen to it in the morning. You can listen to it in the evening, wherever you are, wherever you may be. So we're not going to put a time on it, you dig? Just going to do some recaps of some of the major headlines in the week 12. We're going to be handing out some game balls. So if you have a game ball for somebody who did really well for you on your fantasy team or your team, let me know. Tweet us, Facebook us, let us know who your game ball you're giving it to for the week. So we give out some game balls, we'll look at some headlines, and we'll go over the standings through week 12. And now we're starting to jockey for playoff positioning, right? So standings are very important. So got a great show, so sit back, relax, and enjoy yourself. You're listening to the NFL Opening Drive, Week 12, with your boy E-Dub. We'll be right back.
Hi, Daddy.
Has ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as good. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious.
Blue, you're my boy!
Cut it out.
All right, week 12 in the NFL. What a week it was. Kind of anticlimactic. Not really. It wasn't a lot of, like, I don't know. It was just kind of just a blah week for me. And I don't know if it was just because my team got smacked in the head. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But it was just kind of a so-so week for me. I mean, how did you guys feel about week 12 in the NFL? Go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at GT Radio 1100. Let me know what you guys thought about week 12, but I thought it was very anticlimactic. But nevertheless, we are here. I wanted to start with where do we want to start, guys? Let's go to Thanksgiving, man. Let's start the Thanksgiving game. If you have been listening to the show, you know that I really go and I give recaps on pretty much all the games. Not going to do that this week. I'm going to try out something different. Just going to try to pick out the main ones and kind of go through some of the main headlines. Yeah. So we're just going to try something up a little different. So the first thing I want to look at are these Thanksgiving turkeys. So the first game, you saw the Texans take out the Lions 41-25. That I guess we can call that one the Bye Patricia game. Bye Patricia. Because after that game, they fired their coach. And I believe they fired their GM as well. The only question I have with that is, why did it take so long? I mean, I don't know why they – some people, they just – I don't know, man. It's just – it was obvious that the dude can't coach. It was just – ever since they let go of Jim Caldwell, man, they just haven't been the same. They just haven't been the same. And Jim Caldwell had a various amount of success with that Detroit team. But I won't pontificate on that, because the game I really wanted to talk about – or the Washington football game, Washington football team, and the Dallas Cowboys. Now, my brother-in-law and a lot of people on my wife's side of the family are big Cowboys fans. Actually, I got some cousins that are Cowboys fans as well. If you're listening, I'm sure you have some friends that are Cowboys fans. It's probably the biggest fan base in America, probably. But yeah, I don't know what... Watching that massacre, the 41-16 massacre, it was like they were watching the first game and saw Detroit lose 41-25, and they was like, oh, bet, we can beat that. We can beat that. They looked horrible. I don't know what was worse. So the two plays are the two moments that I just thought were just god-awful. One was the fake punt, and if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. The fake punt they tried, I think it was in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. They're on their side of the field. And if you're going to run a fake punt, just hike it to the up man, run straight. You know, you may get the 1 or 2 yards that you need. Or hike it to the punter, try to catch him slipping, just toss it up to the up man, 7 or 8 yards, you good. They ran a double reverse. A double reverse on a fake punt. So if you need 10, I mean, if you need 5 yards, by the time the guy who gets the ball, who you want to have the ball, he's 10 to 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I don't know who called that play, who okayed that play, but that man needs to turn in his key card effective immediately. Immediately. Oh my gosh, that was just a terrible game. And then you have the series of plays when after one of the linebackers gets an interception, he runs it back to like maybe the 7-yard line. I don't know what exactly, but I believe it was inside the 10. And they run a series of plays that were just god-awful. From the 10-yard line or inside the 10, all three plays are in the shotgun. They never try to run the ball. It was just... who was calling plays with y'all? It was just like, it was bad. It was so bad that my brother-in-law, who was a Cowboys fan, I don't know what time in the fourth quarter it was, but at one point I was just like, hey, bruh, Jeopardy's on. You want to check it out? You want to check out Jeopardy? And so we made the move to go and take him out of his misery. And turn on Jeopardy and watch some old Sanford and Son reruns. But yeah, that Dallas Cowboy game was atrocious. God, it was atrocious. So Cowboys lose to the Washington football team 41-16. A big game from Antonio Gibson, 3 TDs. Really good game for the guy who was running the ball. He was playing like a grown man out there. Ezekiel Elliott running behind a line of Swiss cheese. I think he had a fumble or two. And it was embarrassing, man. I felt bad for the Dallas Cowboys, man. I mean, I didn't, but, you know, it is what it is, man. My team done got embarrassed plenty of times this season on national TV. So excuse me if I don't shed a tear for the Dallas Cowboys. But that is what happened on Thanksgiving. Texans and Washington both roll and they get the W. So, yeah. Massacre in the Bay. Let's go ahead and get this off. Let's go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let me get a swig of water before I rip the Band-Aid off. Just a second. Here we go. So let me paint a picture. You guys know that I'm a Bucks fan. You know I always call it straight when it comes to my Buccaneers. I don't sugarcoat. I don't fanboy it. I don't call things like I don't see it. You know, when they play good, they play good. And when they don't, it is what it is. I get home for my kids. We went out, we bought some Christmas stuff. And I come home, and the game hadn't even really gotten good yet. I'm getting text messages like, whoa, that was quick. Folks are text messaging me. And I'm thinking that, hey, maybe I should check the game out because maybe my boys are doing good. Much to my chagrin, before I could even cut the game on, the score was 17-0. Tyreek Hill had pretty much accumulated a full game's worth of stats in the first quarter. It was embarrassing, to say the least. I never even turned the game on. To be honest with you, I never turn the game on. I watched it via Twitter just to see the reactions, checked on the stats, the game cast, and I had stuff I had to do. I wasn't gonna put myself through that misery. I wasn't finna do it. So of course the talk the day after is who's at fault? Is it Bruce Arians? Is it Byron Leftwich? Is it Tom Brady? What is going on in Tampa? Who is to blame? They had a good segment on this in the Monday Night Crew that I'm talking about it. And Booger McFarland, he said, look, man, I don't want to absolve the quarterback from his play. You know, we love to talk about the coaches and we love to talk about this, that, and the other, but Tom Brady has not been playing well. I mean, we can talk about scheme. We can talk about this, that, and the other, but there has been a failure to execute. Now, whether I think Bruce has to wear a little bit of that, I think Byron Leftwich has to wear that, but the guy who was making the pill, the guy who was pulling the trigger, he's got to own it. He's got to own it, man. The last four games, the Buccaneers are 1-4, or 1-3. Tom Brady has 8 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in the last 4 games. He's 28-11 on the season, which is pretty good. I mean, which is decent. Like, he hasn't been bad. He just hasn't been good. See, the problem is this. And the Bucs are 7-5. Bruce Arians, he said that everybody pretty much put them in the Super Bowl in August. And they did. They looked at everyone that we picked up. Brady, Gronkowski, Fournette. You could throw Antonio Brown into the mix. You got a healthy Mike Evans. And on paper, it looks so sexy. But you forget the fact that Tom Brady is an aging quarterback. And he has looked like an aging quarterback that can no longer throw the deep ball. And I don't know if I've said this before, if I said it on another podcast, but you have two dogs on the outside in Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, and now you got Antonio Brown on the slide. You have weapons on top of weapons. And if you can't throw that deep ball with a consistent level of accuracy, you don't need to be back there, man. I mean, and I'm not calling for the man's head, but I'm saying, look, man, you got to play better. And then Thomas said that. He's like, I got to play better. He understands that. But I don't know if he can. Right? Like, I don't know if he can. I don't know if he's capable of hitting that deep ball on a consistent basis to make this team what everybody thinks this team can be. I mean, right now you're 7-5 ball club, which is a little bit over average. That might be who you are. You may not be a championship ball club. I think you have championship talent. I think you have championship potential. But I don't know, man. You have no You had a good, your best win is your win against the Packers. You have a nice beatdown by the Saints twice. You still can't figure that out. And so, you know, the NFC can be had, but Tom Brady's play has been much to be desired. I will say this. And as we move on, we're about to move on to the next headline in just a moment. I think that sometimes you just need a break. Like, so now you just need a break, right? And the Buccaneers are finally at their bye week in week 12. That's a long time to play without a bye week. So maybe the time off will give them some good reflection. Maybe it'll rest them up. You know, Tom Brady's a little old. Maybe he needs a week off, kind of relax, go down to Clearwater Beach and just kind of soak in the sun a little bit. If you can, you know, keep your mask on, Tommy. We don't want a Denver situation going on, but maybe this is what they need. But the Bucs are 7-5, which is better than they were last year at this point. Last year, they were 5-7. Jameis had already thrown 20 interceptions. He'd thrown 21 touchdowns, but he had thrown 20 interceptions at this point last year. So you're doing better, but I'm not sure if that's still where you want to be. So we're going to take a quick little hiatus, a quick little break. And on the other side, we're going to take a look at high school football in Denver, or was it an NFL game? We're also going to take a look at some standings and give away some game balls. This is the NFL Opening Drive Podcast, recapping week 12. I almost forgot what week we're recapping. Recapping week 12. We'll be right back. This segment is brought to us by Tillman's Trinkets and Things. Custom jewelry shipped quickly to your doorstep. Every piece will be uniquely yours. You can get the Tillman's Trinkets and Things from our website, thehawksbeat.com. Just click on their banner, Tillman's Trinkets and Things. Shout out to our guy, Jonathan. He's done great work. He's made pieces for my daughter, for my son, for myself. Check out the folks over at Tillman's Trinkets and Things. What's up, folks? We are back. The NFL Opening Drive Podcast. Recap week 12. I'm your host, E-Dub. We are back, man. Part of the Game Time Radio Network. And I just realized why week 12 was so bad. I just put my finger on it during the break. It is the quarterback play. The quarterback play was awful. So that takes us to the Mile High City in Denver. A high school game was played in Denver with guys who wore NFL uniforms. So first of all, let me give a big bonehead of the year award to the Broncos QB room. These dummies, all three of them tested positive for COVID and everything because they were the only ones who were not following protocol. You weren't following protocol and you got bit. So I don't want to hear any, oh, well, we should have, you know, moved the game. Nah. You should have been following the protocols and all three of y'all wouldn't have got, you know, pinched. But because y'all weren't, NFL said, hey, man, we know where the cases are. We have it contained. So we're going to play it. Y'all going to play it. So salute to the practice squad player. I forget his name, but the Broncos pulled a guy from the practice squad who was a wide receiver and had him play quarterback. His numbers, let me read his stat line. 1 of 9, 13 yards, and 2 interceptions. And you know what? I don't blame my man for that. My man was put in an impossible situation. And there was no way he was going to win that situation. So, of course, the Saints won like 31-3. But here's the crazy thing. Like, Taysom Hill didn't even play that good. He was 9-for-16, 78 yards and an interception. Like, this really was like a high school game, y'all. this really was like a high school game, a whole bunch of running plays, and it was crazy. But you got to take your hat off to that Broncos wide receiver who came out there and just did the best he could, man. He did the best he could. I mean, he did the best he could. That's all I can say about that. I'm not going to shade that man at all. Not going to shade him at all. Very quietly, and I've talked about the Saints all year long and talked about how I need to see more. Look, I've seen enough. They're 9-2. They're clearly the team to beat in the South and maybe even in the whole NFC. 9-2. They're 2-0 without Breeze. And right now, an argument can be made that Sean Payton might be the best coach, might be the coach of the year outside of Mike Tomlin. You know, Mike Tomlin's 10-0. Like, you can't. My man is 10-0. You dig? But Sean Payton definitely deserves some credit, some kudos, and whatever else you want to give him. So, salute to you, Coach Payton. Keeping in line with bad quarterback play, the quote of the weekend is this: I ain't gonna apologize for a win. And those are the words of one Mr. Cameron Newton. Salute to the New England Patriots. A good win against a very good Arizona team. Very good Arizona team. They came back. They were down for a good little part, but they came back, beat the Arizona Cardinals with a 50-yard field goal by Nick Folk as time expired. Kudos, man. Kudos to a gutty win by the New England Patriots. James White rushed for 2 touchdowns. And let me read Cam's stat line, 9 of 18, 84 yards, 2 interception, and they won the game. Right, so like you gotta say they won the game, right? You gotta say they won the game, because if you just look at that, you're like, oh my god, like what are we doing here? But salute to Cam Newton, salute to Bill Belichick. Had to coach a whale of a game. Cardinals just didn't have it going, man. They just didn't have it going. And as much as I love the Kyler Murray kid, and y'all know how I love listen, y'all know how I love D-Hop. Whatever they did, whatever they schemed, 5 catches, 55 yards. That's not a D-Hop game. That's not a D-Hop game. Kyler Murray, 170 yards, no touchdowns. They schemed it right, man. Whatever they did, it worked. Arizona had trouble moving the ball. It was just it just worked, man. So kudos to the New England Patriots. 5-6 now, by the way. 5-6. Don't look now. But quietly starting to win some ball games. Five and six, I believe things are still in play in that division. We'll take a look at the divisions very shortly. But again, man, I ain't going to apologize for no win. I love it. I love it. Words of greatness from, I'm sorry. Words of greatness for what Mr. Cam Newton. My man got the band started playing, man. But let's do this, guys. Let's take a brief pause one more time. And when we come back, we're going to take a look at the standings. And we're going to give away some game balls for week 12. Keep it locked. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back to the NFL opening drive. Week 12 recap with your boy, E-Dub. I'm watching the Philadelphia and the Seattle Seahawks game. And your boy, Metcalf, just ran a slant up the middle for the Seahawks. The safety comes downhill and tries to lay the boom. Hits Metcalf, then immediately falls backwards, like the opposite direction. When I tell you DK Metcalf is a man, he is a man. All right, y'all, this is the final segment, man. Let's get into take a look at some of these standings. I'm going to give you my top five as well as some game balls we're going to hand out for the week of week 12 in the NFL. So let's start in the AFC, man. AFC is kind of top heavy. You got the Bills at 8-3, Dolphins on their neck at 7-4, and don't look now, but the Patriots 5-6, still very much up for grabs. I believe the Bills are kind of still kind of in the kind of has a stronghold. I believe they are the best team in this division. But oh, and the Jets are 0-11. I just had to mention that. I think this division is the Bills to lose, but we'll see. We'll see. AFC West, you have the Chiefs 10-1. Then you have kind of the middle class with the Raiders 6-5, Broncos 4-7, Chargers 3-8. We know how that division is going to turn out. A very, very competitive AFC North with the Steelers 10-0, Browns 8-3, Ravens 6-4, Bengals 2-8. Who would have thought the Ravens, man? Losers of two straight. They was up there, man. The Browns have won three in a row. And isn't this such a Cleveland thing for them to be this good and still have to deal with the 10-0 Steelers team? Like, I still think they might get the wild card once everything shakes out. But Browns have been playing some good football this season. AFC South, you have the Tennessee Titans at 8-3, the Colts right on their backs at 7-4. I believe that's a toss-up between those two squads. Texans and the Jaguars pulling up the rear with the Texans at 4-7 and the Jaguars at 1-10. Jeez, I didn't realize the Jaguars were 1-10, but yeah. Let's go to the NFC. Let's start in the East. When the East is in the house, oh my God. Danger. The division leading New York Giants 4-7 over the Washington football team, who was also 4-7. Eagles and the Cowboys are 3-6. I mean, Eagles are 3-6. Cowboys are 3-8. And dare I say, this division is still up for grabs. Wow, still up for grabs. An argument can be made that it would probably be better to not win your division, like the Rams or like the Vikings or like the Bucks, not win your division and settle for a wild card and have to play whoever wins in the NFC East. I think they would take those cards every single day of the week, but still a lot of football to be played, and we will see how this thing shakes out. So in the NFC West, you have the Seahawks, 7-3. They're currently playing the Philadelphia Eagles. The Rams are 7-4. Cardinals are 6-5, and the 49ers are 5-6. So that division is anything but decided. Look, man, even this 5-win 49ers team, you can't sleep on. So I think that they're headed for a very good finish in that division. NFC North, we're looking at the Packers at 8-3. Everybody else is kind of middle class. I think Packers are kind of going to probably going to cruise to this division. You got the Vikings at 5-6, Bears at 5-6, Lions at 4-7. And last but definitely not least, NFC South, the Saints are out in front comfortably, 9-2. Not only are they 9-2, but they have the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers and the Falcons. Well, the Falcons are 4-7, but Buccaneers are 7-5. Falcons 4-7, and the Panthers are 4-8. So with that said, let us transition to my top five. That's my top five music, because I don't have any like a sound or anything. So my top five power rankings are as follows. Now, I kind of just did my new top five because I went 2 weeks without doing a top five, and some teams were losing, some teams were in. But here is the top five as I see it. At number five is the Tennessee Titans at 8-3. Tennessee has been playing some really good football this season. They have a win over, who was the other team that I was going to put here? But they beat them. So I don't know if it was the Rams or I don't know. It was another team that they were kind of tied with. Similar record. But I think it was even Buffalo. Are they tied with Buffalo? Where's Buffalo at? Let me see what these Bills are. Bills are 8-3. Yes. So I think they have a win over Buffalo. I don't know how to go back and check it. But if not, I have the Titans here at 5. It could easily be Buffalo here at 5. So if you want to do 5A and 5B, you could. If you want to bang me on that, like, I mean, it is what it is. But that's who I got right there. Who knows? Buffalo will probably be in there next week. But we will see. At number 4, I have the Green Bay Packers. Ever since that shellacking that they took from the Bucs, they've been playing some really good football. They're 8-3. It looks like they're going to cruise to that division title in the NFC North. Nobody wants a piece of them at first. We thought the Bears were going to be something, but they have lost 5 in a row. Still mad we lost that game. Golly, how do we lose to the Bears? Jesus. But yeah, so Bears are 5-6, but the Packers are my number 3 team. I'm sorry, Packers are my number 4 team at 8-3. My number 3 team is the New Orleans Saints. Again, I talked about them a little earlier on the show. They are 9-2, a very quiet 9-2. Yeah, they're clearly the best team in the NFC South and possibly even in the NFC. It still remains on what this team will be as long as Drew Brees sits out. With those bruised ribs and all those other ailments he has, but we will see. Top two teams haven't changed. You got the Steelers at 10-0 as my number 2 team. My number 1 team, of course, is the Kansas City Super Chiefs. I call them the Super Chiefs, man, because that is, man, with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and those boys and Patrick Mahomes. They are going to be good for a long, long time, as long as they keep them guys together. So that is my top 5, as well as the standings. Let's go ahead and give these game balls before we get up out of here. I'm going to give out 3 game balls. And again, if you have some game balls, please hit us up on the Twitter at GTRADIO, GT Radio 1100. That is our Twitter. That is our Instagram. Hit us up. Say, hey, E, game ball, week 12. So-and-so and so-and-so. So the first game ball we're going to give out to is one Mr. Tyreek Hill. One Mr. Tyreek Hill carved my Buccaneers up to the tune. 13 catches, 269 yards, and 3 TDs. Mercy, my God. Man, I'm not even going to repeat that one again. game ball. Antonio Gibson for the Washington football team had a good day on Thanksgiving, man. National spotlight, 20 carries, 115 yards, 3 touchdowns. And finally, last but definitely not least, Derrick Henry ran that thing again. 27 carries, 178 yards, and 3 TDs. Good day for Henry. A good day to be a running back in the NBA. Not a good day to be a quarterback, but a good day to be a running back. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been the NFL opening drive, the Week 12 wrap-up. I appreciate you guys for checking us out. Make sure to connect with us on all of our social media platforms. And like we always say, man, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So you need to find him and show him love because that's all he's showing you. L-O-V-E, love. Peace. We out.
Hi, Daddy.
Has ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious.
Blue, you're my boy!
Cut it out. Cut it out.